If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, everybody. It's Diane from the Someone Gets Me podcast, and I have an exciting guest for you today. Her name is Brody Welch, and she's a licensed acupuncturist, board-certified herbalist. She does Chinese medicine, has group coaching, and she can do all kinds of amazing things to help you change your life. And she's perfect for you because when you're not understood and you're highly intense and sensitive, you need some extra support and some people in your corner. In addition to me, it's not a one-person show. She has founded the Life in Balance Acupuncture Center in Corvallis, Oregon. So if you're out in the Oregon way, stop by and see her. She's been working with people since 2003, so she's not a rookie. That's why she's on the show. In addition to all of her clinical practice, she helps women really get in touch with themselves so that they're not stressed and burned out. And I'm sure she'd help you men too if you asked her. She's all about joy and vibrancy, and talking to her makes me so enthusiastic. So I know you're going to love this interview. The people who listen to me a lot have a ton of think, almost to the point where they can't calm down at night and those kinds of things. And I thought maybe you would have some tips or something you could offer my listeners, ways, you know, to help them be able to like ramp their thinking down so they can focus and rest. Is there something that you teach that could help them with that?
Oh, so many different ways that we could go on that question. So really, in Chinese medicine, I think by way of background, all the different functions of the mind and of the emotions are connected with different organ systems. So an energy is said to zip around the body on these channels called meridians, and on these meridians are these places where we can access the body's intelligence, kind of like keys on a keyboard or like on a piano, where pressing them in different combinations will give a different sort of command or suggestion to the body about how it might recalibrate towards balance. And so we assign the function of worry or overthinking to the spleen, which is considered the captain of the digestive team. So basically, we've got the organs of digestion, the spleen and the stomach, are responsible for taking non-self, like in the form of food, and converting it into self, digesting that nutrition, letting go of what we no longer need, and getting what we do need out to every cell so that we can use it. So that's sort of like metaphorically, when we are taking in information, when we're taking in life experiences or conversations, or, you know, that we have to digest our life experience, and it's the spleen that is given that job. And so the spleen is connected with our ability to focus and concentrate, the ability to set an intention, and the ability to process information from it in a very brainy, sort of heady kind of way. So a lot of times with worry or overthinking, it's kind of like chewing on something. We even have that expression in English, right? Without ever actually swallowing it, digesting it, pooping out what we no longer need, and absorbing the rest. And so really it's like looking at what's going on here? You know, like, is the stuff that we're chewing on, first of all, should we even be chewing on it, right? Like, could we in fact just spit it out because it's none of our business, right? Like, are we worried about things that we cannot change? You know, like, is it our business in the first place? If it is, then basically, you know, there's other components to being able to digest an experience. And part of that is that worry is kind of a way that we stay in our heads as opposed to being in our hearts and letting ourselves really feel the difficult stuff from the life experience. And that, so it can be kind of a form of keeping ourselves safe. And so being willing to just carve out a little time of the day to just be with what is and just to allow ourselves to digest without there being like the news on in the background or reading a book while we're eating or working through lunch or, you know, like just those, just allowing ourselves a little space in our day to just get in touch with like what's really present in an emotional level, because emotions are chi and all like chi is energy, the life force. And like everything that's alive, it needs to move, right? Like the stagnant pond isn't alive. It's the river that it's alive. And so similarly, the emotions need to be like we even have this like from the Latin emovere means to move out, this notion that like an emotion moves through you, you digest it, you experience it, and then it's on its way, like a toddler having a temper tantrum. And so once it's like, it only really sticks around if we spin a story about it, or if we deny the natural flow. And so really like getting out of our heads by creating space is a really useful thing, as well as, first of all, is it mine in the first place? And then short of that, there's being able to trust ourselves to make a decision, being able to sort out, that's the function of the gallbladder, which is to detoxify the liver and gallbladder work together to detoxify the body from what we no longer need. And it's the gallbladder that's about courage. And so a lot of times it's like, if we're worried about making a decision, if we're worried about a situation in our lives, that we need to really get in touch with being able to trust ourselves. And there's definitely ways that I have of energetically connecting someone to a place of being able to trust internally. And I also am thinking about acupoints and some essential oils that could be useful too.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, when we're talking about trusting yourself, one of the things that I hear all the time, and it's very common with people who are gifted, is that imposter syndrome, where they don't really trust themselves fully because some things come so easy to them and other people look at them and go, that must have been hard. And they're thinking, well, no, it was kind of easy. So maybe I'm an imposter. And so sometimes people have this doubt and worry and they kind of over obsess and chew on life too much and things, when really, if they could just be in the flow and realize that their natural gifts are meant to just keep flowing through, kind of like the river. I always use that. Like, imagine you're tubing down the river. And you're going down the river. You don't have to go upstream. You don't have to run on the bank. It's okay. You can relax. And so that is a really big part for our people. So you said essential oils. What are some essential oils? Because I love essential oils myself. And so what are some essential oils that could help them?
Well, this could get really specific as well. But if it is about being in your head and not in your body, one that I really like for that is ylang ylang. Spelled Y-L-A-N-G, doubled. And right. that one is, it's a really, it's a pretty sensual oil. And it's one that a lot of times also we retreat to our heads if our bodies haven't been safe. So it's a really good one if you've ever experienced trauma where your body isn't necessarily a safe place. It's a really good one to heal from that. But it's also just one that just makes it comfortable. Like it can drop you down into the level of your intuition and your bodily awareness, which we're often not like taught to trust in this culture, where we've gotten a lot of reinforcement for how smart we are and not necessarily how deeply intuitive we might also be. And so ylang is a really nice one. Also cedarwood. Cedarwood has, if we think about the power of scent, like this isn't some airy-fairy thing. It's like when you smell a scent, it has an immediate effect on the nervous system. It does things to neurotransmitters, but it also moves energy in a particular direction. Like you know this, like if you smell peppermint, you feel your sinuses open, you feel your vision brighten, you feel that it's like it moves upward and outward in your body. Cedar moves down and it moves towards the center in the body. So I would actually couple cedar with an acupoint that is that's on the midline of the body between the belly button and the top of the pubic bone, about one hand breadth down. And that's what we call it in Qigong, lower Dantian, or our sea of Qi. And this is where yin and yang meet in the body, kind of like where the forces of activity and rest, or the sun and moon, or the doing versus the being, or you just like sort of the, where this is the center of balance. It's our biomechanical center of gravity. And so putting cedar on CV6 or CV4, which stands for conception vessel, the Ren meridian, can be really censoring. It's like, it's a way of activating the intelligence of those points, but not using a needle. We're using an oil, and basically taking like the oil by itself, no matter where you put it, is still going to have kind of a downward moving censoring effect. But using it in conjunction with these acupoints, you get the effect of the intelligence of the point plus the intelligence of the plant. So just kind of cedar there. I would also consider cedar on the bottoms of the feet. There's a point called kidney one, which is located about, like, if you point your toe, there's often a little X that shows up on the bottom of the feet. The point's name is Bubbling Spring, and it's named basically in that it connects us with the yin energies of the earth. It's very grounding. And so, it's located between the second and third toes, about one third the distance between the ball of the foot and the heel, in a tender spot. And so not even worrying about that, just like a little foot bath with a few drops of cedarwood oil could just like bring the energy out of your head down to the yin part of the body, the feet. And so those could be just easy little things to do.
So if I'm hearing this correctly about the cedarwood, mm-hmm. I have some people who they can think so fast that they get ahead of themselves and they struggle like in their workplace and it's sometimes in relationships with expression. So if I recommend it to them or they're hearing this podcast, so they use some cedar wood and they just breathed it in and kind of let themselves center, that mm-hmm. could potentially help their overthinking or their ramped up brain, right?
Yeah, I feel that would be true. I know that I have many clients with ADHD who really appreciate vetiver for similar reasons. Like their brains are really quick and fast moving, and vetiver can be similarly grounding similar placement in the body. It's even more like if cedar goes more towards like the middle of the body, vetiver is more rooting.
Okay, great. So the vetiver would really be for the people who are having a hard time being grounded.
Yeah, and it's also great for anxiety. Great. And fear, really good for fear. Spikenard or jadamumsi, as it's sometimes known, from it's a less commonly available one, but that's also an excellent one for grounding and for to calm anxiety that's coming from an overstimulated place.
Right. Yes.
Like not all anxiety is created equal. And so just in Chinese medicine, we diagnose the person, not the condition. So 10 different people with anxiety, some people might, you know, be deficient in blood or deficient in yin. And some people might have overactive yang. And these are of course just metaphors of how we explain, how we tie a diverse set of symptoms together in order to come up with a coherent treatment plan where we get at the root of what's going on and not just the symptom.
And that's very important. And I'm glad you said that, because the reason why I encourage my people to investigate Chinese medicine and at least learn a little bit about it is from what you just said, is I'm a big one on let's not look and put a Band-Aid over whatever the problem is. In fact, what other people might be calling the problem could be something that's one of your gifts that's gone awry because of being, you know, not understood or not properly taken care of and those kinds of things. And so everything can look one way, but can have multiple different sources and different ways to help it out. So if you get to the root of it, then you start actually having a satisfied, happy life. So that's one of the reasons why I support different kinds of assistance for especially all the people I work with, is like, you know, there's got to be a way to look underneath it, because 5 people can have depression or say they're depressed, and they might even be mislabeling something, and it can come from 5 different things.
Yes. That notion of bioindividuality is so central to Chinese medicine, as is the notion of, like, I love what you just said, Diane, about that, that it might actually be like a strength gone awry. That idea is really looms large in Chinese medicine. We think about personality and body and physicality typing, kind of like the Myers-Briggs or, you know, like any of those strengths finder exams. Chinese medicine kind of has the original sort of personality typing in the form of the five elements, where we think about the different attributes, like that people can classify people as water, wood, fire, earth, or metal types, and those have both physiological and psychological tendencies associated with them. And what I feel like it's so valuable for people to understand what type they are, because then they can really understand that their greatest strengths are gone too far, become an exaggeration, and then kind of get in our way. And also that there might be ways that we can live into those strengths differently. And so just, and certainly, and make them work for us in a world that to help us navigate the world, and also to understand that something that might not be our go-to skill might be what's called for in the moment. And like, kind of like when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. It's like being able to be like, oh, right, I also have these other dimensions of myself that I can draw on.
Exactly. And that's what one of the things I'm very big on is keep learning things and finding all the different options instead of thinking it's only one way, because it's not one way.
Totally.
And now that you just mentioned the five elements, I'm like, you're going to have to come back for a second show, because I have so many questions about that. I want my people to hear about all the different elements and living into them and our gifts and everything. And that's not even on my list of questions for you today. And I just wrote, I guess Brody's coming back for that.
All right. Happy to do it.
And it's funny, because when I first learned myself about the five elements from one of my acupuncturists, who's a five element acupuncturist, and was going on and on about all the different elements. And she goes, I'm just confused with you, Diane. You could be more than one at a time. I said, you are not the first person who has said that. Mm-hmm. The someone gets me part is not everybody feels understood. And so I think that looking at all these different levels and seeing things from so many different viewpoints, we can see that all of us on some level are misunderstood, but we also all have the same ability to be understood if we will just, you know, kind of scope out a little bit and see that there's more going on than the one little tiny, you know, hammer and nail scenario, you know?
Totally. Actually, if your people are curious, I have a little quiz on my website that it's free. If you want to find out your constitutional type, I can give you the link for that.
Oh, great.
It's by no means like definitive at all. Let me just say that it is like so reductionist, but it's, you know, because how far can you get in the 10 question quiz? But if you're curious, it can be a nice place to start. And, you know, and that's obviously something that I teach on. So if people want to go deep with me, there is so much we could talk about.
Oh, yes. Awesome. So I'm going to put your website, your URL, in the show notes for this show so that people can link with you. And later on, we're going to talk about some other things that you offer that I think would be so valuable for people, even if they aren't sure what to do, to just check it out and see that there's so many options and so much depth just in one kind of practice, you know, that can really help, that all ties together. Now I have another question for you, and it's related to like the worry guilt thing and about the emotions, but I have a lot of people that have adrenal fatigue because of stressed out and, you know, and fear and just pressure. And I do a lot of work with them to help them kind of decompress their body and teach to do mindfulness and meditation 3 or 4 times a day. And I've had some Qigong people come and help work with some people and things like that. And so I'm wondering if you have any specific tips, that maybe an oil that you use or something that you would suggest for somebody. Like, I use lavender a lot, but I think there's probably other things that would help some people with adrenal fatigue. In fact, I'm thinking of a gentleman I work with right now, and he's highly allergic to lavender. And I'm like, looked at him and said, well, let me do some research and see what else there would be. So are there other options besides just like lavender and meditation that can help with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think adrenal fatigue is a misunderstood label. Like, I mean, there sort of is, are you using that as a synonym for burnout or exhaustion?
I'm using it as kind of an advanced version of burnout and exhaustion.
They physically can't get off the couch. Like they literally have no adrenal like capacity at that point. Yeah. I think it's going to take a lot more than oil and lavender. Yes. So in Chinese medicine, the adrenals we think about as part of the kidney system, or sort of like that. So basically in Chinese medicine, you've got to live within your energetic means, or you start dipping into your reserves. And that's, so basically if you're doing too much, if you're running yourself into the ground with overwork to the point where you like basically that you're doing too much yang, then basically all the yang burns out and you go super yin, right? Like you're just there's not much energy, there's not much activity there. And so what needs to happen is you need to nourish back your yang by going deeply into yin. So you need to actually give yourself permission to rest. You need to give yourself permission to slow down. And that if somebody came into my office with that kind of thing, I would get them on herbs immediately. Acupuncture can help too, but really nourishing back from the inside out. There we have sort of in sort of the Western parlance, the notion of the adaptogens, so these herbs that can help this deep level of depletion and help us adapt to stress, include things like rhodiola and ashwagandha and ginseng and, but all of those things, I think it's really important to work with a trained herbalist about this, because they're really not all created equal. And that basically, from a Chinese medicine model, somebody who's say like in menopause and is like having hot flashes and night sweats and is running hot because she's not resting, she's like, you know, doing way too much, and she's maybe like has work, has family, is like up till 11 at night, isn't sleeping well, you know, that kind of thing, she's going to be like, she's going to have some symptoms of internal heat. And a lot of times, like, these herbs that are supplementing can be really warming in nature and can actually make that heat worse. And so she might need something that's more based in like Dongguei and Romania. And, you know, so like she would get a very different formula than someone whose adrenal fatigue is manifesting as just kind of like depression and feeling cold and feeling like low libido and just not wanting to do much and feeling, that like if that's the history and the person has been, and body type obviously is like kind of what else is going on. If they have like poor digestion, then they would be more, they would need more yang tonics, more things that are going to nurture back at a very deep level, but are in fact warming and energizing. Getting back to your question about lavender oil, lavender goes to the liver. It's a very circulating oil. It's like if you smell it in the body, it's one that moves the energy, not so much nourishes the energy. And so it's really like a diet would also be where I would go. Nourishing from the inside out, I would pay a lot of attention to making sure that person is eating really good quality nourishing food, that they're building, you know, that they're getting protein on a regular basis, that they're eating like warm cooked, easily digestible stuff, because it's, you know, really like when you have nothing left, it's like that the sources of qi come from our ability to digest, our ability to breathe, right? So like food, right, air, the positive digestion of our life experience, and really rest, you know, like, so, and I think so much like, you know, we live in this culture where that glorifies the yang, right? The productivity, the doing, the speed, we identify so much with who we are professionally, who we are externally in the world. And really the yin, the like, the beingness, the slowing down, the inner experience, that stuff is totally discounted, and it's totally necessary in order to have good yang. You need good yin. And so I feel like that I'm on like a crusade against yang addiction, because people burning out does not help them give their gift to the world, and you know, that at all. And it's the kind of thing where like really, you know, I feel like I've come close to that edge in my life several times, and it hasn't manifested as adrenal fatigue, but it has certainly manifested as insomnia and anxiety and things like that. And it's like, I can tell when I'm in a different mode, when I'm actually paying attention to and appreciating the yin and really not half-assing my meditation practice and really, you know, like having a bedtime routine and, you know, just doing things that are like allowing that pulsation, but that's as natural as a heartbeat or a breath, that we know everything in the universe is pulsating, right? That between the yang and the yin extremes. And it's like, you can't just live on the yang all the time or you're going to break.
You are so right. And I love the yang addiction line. I wrote that down. And Everybody who's listening, who has heard my voice for the last 30 years, you just heard it again. It is okay to rest and slow down. In fact, we get more done and we are better and healthier on every level when we rest and when we slow down, like throttle it back. It's okay. We're not machines. And here you go again, another person from another viewpoint saying the exact same thing.
All the sister,
all the way down to eating healthy foods, like, you know, organic, non-GMO healthy foods. You all have heard it from me over the years. This is not new. And I love the Yang addiction idea, because that translates to me, my comment that I say, you know, we're not machines. And I've gone to that brink more than once in my career, like, because I have a lot of intense energy in me and I like to get things done and I'm doing all these things. But I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. And so I've had to dial it back myself. And I have some clients that are on the road a lot and they have a lot of adrenal things and they're using almost all lavender because other people have told them to. So now I have some other information for them. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but I just want everybody to hear, get it clearly that from more than one viewpoint, the consensus is clear: quality food, breathing, air is your friend, and rest are important. They're vital for everybody, particularly those of us who are highly yeah. sensitive and have very excitable bodies that need even more rest and more nourishment and better breathing than the average person. So hear us when we say this. Both of us are speaking the same language. It's important, you guys, to get this.
Yeah. And incidentally, like, for your person who wants to work with essential oils, who can't deal with lavender and who is very depleted, I recommend the conifers. Like, really, the cedar, you know, again, that, and as well as silver fir or black spruce could both be excellent, because if we think about, like, what conifers are about, they endure, right? Like, they're around through the harsh winter. They are grounded in the earth, but they are upward rising towards the sky, and they are strong. And so, like, when we want to embody those qualities, the evergreens, the conifers are wonderful and tend to be connect with that kidney energy, that which is deeper in the body, whereas the liver is really just about the smooth flow of qi in the body, like keeping us. Lavender can be very relaxing, but it can also be energizing, like for some people. And so it works that way because all energy needs to move. And when we get stressed or tense, the liver qi stagnates. So, like, liver qi stagnation is one of the most common diagnoses I will make as a practitioner, because it's basically synonymous with any time we tighten up. Anytime we kind of go from ease and rest and relax, rest and digest mode, rest and repair mode, our parasympathetic state, when we get activated into fight or flight mode, emergency mode, which really only should be happening when it's a truly life-threatening situation, but for most of us happens, like, daily, that's very draining. And so working with the smooth flow of liver qi, that's like the being able to breathe, being able to get our liver qi moving again. Lavender is a really good one for that. And just points for liver qi stagnation that I'd be happy to share is, I think probably, stress is, it's fair to say, one of the biggest problems that almost all of us deal with. One of my favorite points to help us open the lungs, to get breathing again, and to unstagnate the liver qi is liver 14. And why I like it is because it's on the chest. It's pretty easy to access. If you if you were a flat-chested model of a person, it would basically be like two rib spaces below where the nipple is. So if you go to your torso and you measure from the outside of your shoulder to the midline, or basically that notch in your collarbone, and you go halfway, you take half that distance, so like the nipple line, you go below the breast, you go below where most women have their bra line, there's going to be a tender spot between two ribs. And when you rub that, basically just like little gentle circles, generally speaking, away from the midline, can be a way of just of dispersing that energy, allowing the diaphragm to unlock. So the way that that works, it's not just a point on the surface, it's a point that connects with this whole channel, right, that runs from the foot to the head, that connects deeply with our internal organs. And so when we, and liver 14's name is cycle gate. So it's really like as the energy cycles through the body, this is the last stop before it gets ready for the next round. So I just like to think about, like, as I rub that point, or maybe anoint it with lavender, I'm thinking, I'm letting go of everything I don't need anymore, and just and allowing that qi to move.
Oh, that is brilliant. That is brilliant. And this is a reminder for everybody about the whole fact that I say all the time, everything affects everything.
Yep.
And it's internal and external. Everything affects everything, does not exclude anything. It's like everything. And you just heard it, you know, it's like, I just did that. I was finding my spot on my body and rubbing myself at that spot where you were just describing it, and I could feel it. And it's funny because I started rubbing out, and then you said to preferably rub out, and I could feel the shifting of my breathing. And I'm good at breathing. So I imagine people who aren't very good at breathing, that would be really transformative just to give that one exercise a try, to just see if they can get some movement, and then they can feel the difference between being stagnant and shut down maybe, or maybe they've been like this coming out of their head for so many years that they don't even know what they're missing because they don't have an experience. And maybe something like that could give them a little bit of a, like a wake up and say, you know, where is a practitioner or somebody who can take this to the next level, and certainly learn from your website, or if they're in your area, of course, see you personally, or find somebody who is a skilled, licensed, knowledgeable person that can say, here, do these things to help really get everything moving. Because when we're all moving like a well-oiled being, you know, and everything's cruising along, then our life is better and everybody around us is happy along with us. So I think that's a really good, very easy tip to find, because I felt it right away when you said it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. I'm like, oh, I'm going to try that while she's talking. That's a good thing. Now, here's one more question for you. I have so many. Self-soothing. And in the sense that, you know, you hear all the time that people who are very smart have a hard time falling asleep because their brains are going. But I'm also thinking about the person who maybe has a bigger than normal startle response a little bit, not necessarily from trauma or whatever, but more from being an empath, or their sensual overexcitability would be where they're, you know, particularly sensitive to loud noises or fluorescent lights or things like that. And so the world can feel harsh to them and prickly maybe. And so, you know, like I use weighted blankets with the children sometimes, and sometimes with adults and things like that at nighttime. But I was wondering if maybe there was some kind of other thing, that tip that you might have, whether it's a Qigong related thing or an acupoint related thing or something, to help people just like through the course of the day, if they're finding themselves getting ramped up. I teach a lot to stop what you're doing and breathe for 5-10 minutes, if a minute if you can, and you know, reset the parasympathetic nervous system to try to help calm it down. And I was wondering if you had anything to add to that, that, you know, was an actionable thing people could practice doing.
That's a really good question. So are you talking about more like in the moment when people are feeling it, startled or scared, or do you mean like kind of a practice to give us a different baseline?
More of a practice to give us a different baseline, because their usual experience is a little bit elevated all the time. So they tend to be almost hypervigilant in observing and on the edge because of the sensitivity in their body, not necessarily because something's happening. Kind of like to reset, like so they can see what their normal would be, and to help them make friends with that instead of always seeing it as an issue.
Got it. Well, so this is from the Qigong tradition, and basically it's, and actually I'm a huge fan of self-massage, right? That like we're mammals. And so comforting touch is one of the things that can actually bring cortisol levels down. So like especially in women, the tend and befriend response counters the fight or flight response. So if you can imagine kind of like the tiger attacking the village, you know, like that it might be like that some people might go into fight or flight, like let's defend the village or freeze so the tiger doesn't get us. But that like in the aftermath of that, everybody takes care of their nervous systems by like women, especially tending to the other people, like who got hurt? Is everybody okay? Where are the kids? You know, like that, and you know, and so that tend and befriend response, which often is about, you know, hugging someone, picking somebody up, right? Like getting close. And so self-massage is a wonderful way that that I help people with insomnia, and with also just kind of like getting rid of kind of the rest of the world and just coming home to ourselves. And it's a way that we can give ourselves comforting touch and just practice being in our own bodies. And so like I recommend that, you know, like if that seems like a weird thing, it's like people, you can start with kind of at the end of your day, like part of your transition to like your to winding down time, or maybe even just right before bed, is to just like, you can energetically just wash your body, as like we do kind of like the qi shower in the Chinese medicine tradition, where you're kind of imagining that you're gathering up energy from the earth, and you're you've got magnets in your hands, you're kind of like washing it up the front of your body, and then over the top of your head and down over your shoulders, over the chest, and then down your back, your buttocks, the back of your legs, and back to the earth. And you can do that, like you can do kind of like this energy massage, or you can actually do a massage just taking your hands on your body with oil. Because if you can imagine kind of like stimulation as wind, right? Like the winds of change, that like all the stuff in the outside world that's moving, like wind is moving, it's disorienting, it's fast, it's changing, you're having to adapt to it. And if you can imagine wind hitting a puddle of oil, it's like oil just grounds and soothes and centers and is this layer of yin that you can place all over your body to help just really ratchet down the wind. And so I recommend, like, you get an old towel that you don't mind going rancid, because if you're using oil on it every day, it will definitely do that. And to keep a little bottle of dish soap in your shower. But basically, just take any oil that you would cook with that's food grade. I love coconut oil because it's solid at room temperature usually and just easy to work with. But jojoba is also nice. You could even use olive oil or sunflower oil. Not that you should be eating sunflower oil, but it's can be nice externally. Or almond oil is a really nice one. And basically working from the extremities to the core on the arms and the legs, using long strokes on the limbs and circular strokes on the joints, that can really help just settle. And going from there into either a bath or a shower, because oil also emulsifies grime, so you won't really need to use soap. Just kind of rinse off the extra oil, pat yourself dry. And that is like, between that and an Epsom salt bath with some cedar involved, like, you're going to sleep like a baby. And so just that's something that, like, if you try it, like, you might do it once and be like, eh, whatever. But if you try it every day for 2 weeks, like, I defy you to not feel a change in your nervous system.
All right. 2 weeks it is, everybody. So from the moment you hear this podcast, that sounds wonderful.
Report back. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah. We want to know how it goes. 2 weeks of doing that with the oil. What about grapeseed oil?
That's a nice one. Yeah.
Is that a good one? Yeah. Okay. A friend of mine uses that a lot. And I was wondering when you were naming the oils.
Yeah. And of course we could go, I mean, this is a practice called Abhyanga that comes from the Ayurvedic tradition, which is also something that is an energetic medicine that stood the test of time, like Chinese medicine. They both kind of arm wrestle for the title of longest, you know, continually practiced medicine on earth. And anyway, so Abhyanga is a great practice to do daily, this self-massage with oil. And you can get specific, like if you tend to run cold, that sesame oil will be a good choice, or almond. And if you tend to run hot, you're going to want to do coconut or sunflower.
Oh, that's beautiful. So that's wonderful. So now we have a 2-week challenge. This is awesome. I can't believe it. I'm going to try all these things, because
sweet.
I'm a big one that I don't recommend things unless I've either tried them or I'm willing to try them, because I believe that, you know, we all have to be open-minded and willing to do neat things. And I think that if we have personal experience with things, and when I'm saying something to somebody I'm working with, then I have some experience with it beyond just, you know, my head knowledge. So I think that that's going to be really magical. So I also wanted to encourage everybody who's listening to check out your website. I went to it. It's brodywelch.com, and I'll put those links in the show notes. But it was amazing to go on there. Just the vibe of it, Brody, was so peaceful. And I checked it out after I was having this hectic day, and I'm like, I want to learn about her. And it was just wonderful, and the moment of ease and the opportunity just to like stop. But in addition to that, you have such a wealth of content and information and opportunity for people to just dive into any one of the subjects they want to dive into that we've talked about and more. I mean, there's so many, we could never even fit it in an interview unless we went on for like 3 or 4 hours and took a lunch break, which is nice, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great. And the other thing I want to suggest to everybody is your podcast, A Healthy Curiosity. Tell me a little bit about how you got that title. I love the title, so I'm kind of curious.
Well, I mean, really, I was thinking about how many people, like if everybody knew what Chinese medicine could do, like there would be such demand for this medicine, and it's still kind of in its infancy in this country where people are like, I don't know about that. It seems a little weird, you know, and like the fact that even though like it, well, and it's just a different model than most of us grew up with, but it's like people don't get that it's this whole like rational system that can be insanely helpful for all kinds of things that allopathic medicine isn't so great at, namely chronic recurring things that people live with. When you don't want surgery and or medication for the rest of your life, there's so much else we can do. And so my original thought was like, okay, so there's you know, there's a whole bunch of people out there who could benefit from knowing about not only Chinese medicine, but so many of these other fields that I have colleagues in or that I've experienced help with myself, you know, and that I felt like, wow, there's a big gap between people who have problems and the people who have solutions. And if I could host a podcast for people who are wanting to navigate the world in a mindful way, to take care of their bodies without, you know, in a different way, like people who are interested in really like coming alive and understanding themselves at deeper levels, that I want to create a space for that. It to have the conversations that I want to have with people who know their stuff that I can learn from, that can bridge that gap between people who desperately need healing and it just might not be, maybe not necessarily desperately need healing, but desperately need inspiration on the path, because it can feel really lonely. And being able to just kind of to create kind of this space where people can learn something interesting that's going to be immediately beneficial, either with their physical, emotional, spiritual health, or their mindfulness practice, or their relationships, right? Like that health is really a holistic thing that is, it's transpersonal, and really it's so much of what's wrong with so much of the problems that cause the bulk of why people are not well have to do with imbalances in our culture, and they're not really individual problems. Like they're so much more universal than people think. And I, as a clinician, getting to hear person after person struggling with the same issues, I was just like, all right, this needs to change. People need to understand that they're not alone.
Yes, and that's exactly why my podcast was started, with people need to understand they're not alone, because it's systemic. There's so many things that are cultural and systemic and started way before we were, you know, in our human bodies. And, you know, it's important that people realize there is support, and there's people on the journey with us that we might feel alone, but it's, you know, like, I just kind of like, where are my people? And that's why podcasting and, you know, and the internet and social media and stuff can actually serve us, because I found you in Oregon and I'm in Florida because we, you know, we found each other on social media, and look at this great conversation that has come out of it with a ton of great information in a very short time with extra resources that somebody could go after if they wanted, and without us seizing the opportunity to say, hold on, you guys, you're not alone. Then they would feel more alone. So I'm really glad that you're doing the work you're doing, and I honor you for it, because I think it's needed, you know, and it's vital, and you're following your vision, and that's what it's all about. So I'm so grateful that you're on this show. So before we end, and I tell everybody more information about how to reach you, is there something that you're kind of coming to mind that you'd like to share, you know, that I didn't cover, or something that kind of intuitively popped in that you say, hey, I want to talk about that for a minute, or anything like that?
Oh, there's so many different directions that we could go, and I do hope that we get to talk again. This has been a super fun conversation for me. I think that really, like my parting words to my clients as they leave the clinic is, be good to yourself. And that's really, you know, it's like we're in this culture. Part of the culture is that self-care is somehow selfish, and it's like, so really, like my message that I can hope to leave everyone with is another challenge to really think about who benefits when you take time to meditate. Like, who benefits when you have enough sleep? Who benefits when you've nourished your body with whole foods that you can digest? It's like, not just you. It's actually everyone that you're going to, it's going to ripple into every relationship you have. It's going to ripple into the work that you do in the world. So it is absolutely not selfish. It's actually kind of selfish to do the empty calories of self-care that don't really give back to you, right? You know, like, and so that, you know, whether that's like staying up too late, you know, like just, or that what some things that feel like they're self-care, but really they're not actually giving back. And so I would encourage everyone to be good to themselves by being in energy integrity and really honoring your internal needs that you might not necessarily be attuned to when you're too busy. And so to get quiet, to create a little space, to hear what really would fill up the well, and do that.
That is awesome. And I'm so glad you said that. I'm glad I asked that question. And that's very inspiring for me and for everybody else, because it does affect everything, and how we take care of ourselves affects much more than just us. That's completely true in my mind. So thank you for sharing that. And I want to tell everybody who's listening, please check out Brody's website. She has this really cool 11-week course that she does. That's if you're one of those people kind of like me that wants to dive all the way in as far as you possibly can and do a massive overhaul, where you're listening to us and you're going, oh my, I've been getting all these messages and information, and it just keeps coming to me that I need to do a massive, major, like complete redo and reset your life. Check out her website. She has this 11-week, she's calling it a level up your life, which I think is a brilliant title, way to completely get into this group situation that's kind of like a boot camp with information and education and support to really help you do the complete overhaul of your life, along with all the other content that Brody has both on her podcast and her website. So check her out. I'm going to invite her back again because I know that we're going to have a conversation about the five elements. That's very important. And there's other topics that we could cover, but we're getting to the end of our time, so I don't want to run over, but I want everybody to really check out Brody. And Brody, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to offer your great wisdom and your knowledge for me and for my audience.
Happy to talk to you, Diane. It's been great.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.